Today I want to talk to you about healthy change. I mean, you know, change happens. And speaking of change, I don't know if you know it or not. I don't know how this could ever happen, but it has happened. I can't even believe it, to be honest with you, but Benjamin is 30 years old today. I blinked, turned around, and there he is, 30 years old, and two grandkids. Isn't that awesome? I don't know how he got that old, because I don't feel that old. Praise God. So you wish him a happy birthday today. Healthy change. In Psalm 112, he's talking about the righteous. I would encourage you to go read that psalm. It is an amazing psalm about the righteous. Well, Pastor Larry, how do you get righteous? You give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he makes you righteous. No good people are going to get to heaven, only saved people. You can't be good enough to get to heaven, but you can be saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're talking about change today. And if you haven't ever experienced the change of the forgiveness of sin, matter of fact, the scripture declares it this way, all things become new. Amen? And if you haven't done that, you need to do that. Give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and begin life anew. I'm so glad God gives start overs. Amen? Glory to God. I was watching a track meet the other day and some guy false started. They kicked him out of the race. Thought, I'm glad God doesn't do that. Amen? He gives us chances. In Psalm 112, it says this, their hearts are secure and they have no fear. And we know there's a lot of fear in the world. Huh? They have no fear. And in the end, they will look in triumph over their foes. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, the church was having a little issue about ministers, you know, and I'm of Paulus, and I'm of Paul, and I'm this, and I'm that. And they were just, it's just, the enemy loves to create division. And he'll do it in all kinds of ways. I like this pastor, and I like this preacher, and I like this preacher. And to be honest with you, can I tell you something? Love Jesus. Just fall in love with Jesus. Keep Jesus the priority. And God will send men into your life that will speak into your life. Thank God for those men. But remember, they're just men. And women. Yeah, don't forget that. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 and 7. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Verse 7, so neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Aren't you glad of that? God makes things grow. He does. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked the question to Peter, who do men say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus responds with this quote, and I tell you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. God is in the business of building his church if we let him. That's what I think. I learned that a long time ago. Sometimes some of us ain't willing to let God do what God needs to do, to do what God promised he would do. Does that make sense? God will build his church if we let him. You see, some people, and nobody in this room, I'm sure, have adopted ideas the enemy birthed. Well, I'm not sure I want this church to grow. Well, that don't sound like God to me. Matter of fact, that's anti-God. God says he makes things grow. The enemy doesn't want God's kingdom to grow. And then they try to, well, God said he'd build his church, but it's not all about numbers. How many of you know God wants everybody that possibly can to be in heaven? That's why numbers matter. Amen? That's why you matter. Glory to God. You matter. Yeah. Here's another enemy, an idea the enemy loves. I'm not worth a whole lot. Nobody cares about me. Think about that for a minute. You're not worth a whole lot? Jesus, the Son of God, died for you. Nobody cares about Jesus died for you, and he created a church to care for you if you'll let the church care for you. Yeah. How about this one? I don't need to change. It's everybody else needs to change. They're just going to have to accept me the way I am. No, you probably need to change. John Maxwell does this little thing. You know, Tom has a problem with George, and Tom has a problem with Peter, and Tom has a problem with Larry, and lo and behold, the problem's not Larry, George, or Peter. It's Tom. Now, that's a funny story until you're Tom. And God has to change or do some things. You see, we don't know how to manage change, steward over change in our lives. For things to grow, change is required. And I'm so thankful of that. You know, my son just celebrated his 30th birthday, and I'm glad things had to change for him to grow. He's not in diapers anymore. Do you understand that? And there are some things we accept very well in the relationship to change, and then there are other things we don't do well in accepting change. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, Paul says this. You know, that's the love chapter, and he says this. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I understood like a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Growth. Growth means you let some things go. Growth means you leave behind to grasp hold of the potential of tomorrow. And if you hold on to yesterday, you will never realize the potential of tomorrow. Amen? Yeah. The truth of the matter is we can resist change. You know, in history, there's been some crazy, chaotic ideas to impede growth. And one of those is in China, they used to wrap girls' feet to keep them from growing. And they did that because some emperor at one time said, small feet, they're attractive. Can you imagine that? One person says small feet is attractive. So what did they do? They broke the bones, they broke the toes, and they wrapped them up real tight so they could make them small. Look at. There's another slide coming. Next one. Oh, he took the pictures off. It's a terrible thing when you impede growth, what it does to your life. They outlawed that practice in 1930 or so. The last ladies that had that problem were 1950. Some things are hard to let go of, even when they're wrong. Sometimes we impede the growth of our own lives because we want to hold on to, because we can't let go of habits that are stealing and robbing us of victory. And part of the problem, I talked about this on Wednesday night, was we deal with symptoms instead of root causes. You know, we want to stop this because this is not a good habit. But the reason, there's a reason why you do what you do. And you've got to attack the heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The proverb says the issues of life come out of the heart. And there's only one person that can do adequate surgery of the heart. And that is Jesus and the Godhead and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Only he can do it. You see, the truth of the matter is, change is a fact of living. And there are three things that cause change. There's natural change, things that are just naturally going to change in life. How many of you have seen a lot of change in your life? It's just going to happen. And then there is forced change. The other night, I had to be in Panama City to pray with pastors who have gone through the hurricane, and I'm driving through the city, and I thought, man, this is a group of people who have had to change because of the force that hit them. There are other things that happen in our life that we didn't choose. They just happen, and we're forced to change. Guess what you got to do? Change. Because if you don't change, you're going to get stuck, and you're going to be in trouble. And then the other thing, in the midst of all that, you got to choose to change. You see, things in their natural lifespan move towards stagnation and decay. I don't care how good your marriage is. If you don't invest in your marriage, it's going to die. It's going to run out of momentum. And the same is true with a lot of relationships. The same is true with church. The same is true with anything in your life. Yeah. Things in their natural life move toward fruitlessness. How many know God wants you to be fruitful? Yeah. Amen? So the real question is, do we know the difference between healthy change and unhealthy change? You see, if things don't change, you won't grow spiritually. Marriage changes, and healthy marriages adapt to changes. Long-term relationships adapt to changes. Fruitfulness is the plan of God. And if you're not careful, you will always abandon people because you can't accept what God has done in their life and doing in their life, and you can't adjust change. Help us, Lord. You see, change comes, I think, in two categories. Our response or a management determines the change. There's healthy change and there's unhealthy change. And here's the deal. In the Christian community, there are a lot of people who want to list change as evil. They don't know the difference between when we got to and we don't. They just see all change as evil. We can't do that. We can't change that. We can't change that. We can't change that because that's the way we've always done it. And we know what we've always done is passing. There's one constant, and Ben sang about it. We sang about it today. God is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. There's a constant in the world, and that's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That God so loved the world, the word of God is enduring forever and ever and ever. That means this, when in the midst of change, you need the solid foundation of his word. That's what excites me so much about Junior Bible Quiz. You know what I'm saying? Junior Bible Quiz. You bet it. Yeah. So growth requires change. And the truth of the matter is, change has a cost. But change also has benefits. You see, when I got married, it was a tremendous change. It cost me a lot to be married. Benefits far outweighed any cost or any loss I had. How many of you say amen? I meant for you, not me, but yeah. You see, approaches to growth and change. And the problem is this, because we read that scripture earlier, God causes it to grow. So we sit back and think, God's going to do it. 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 How many of you know God wants to partner with you to make some things happen? I'm going to get up and go to church in the morning. God's going to wake me up. No, set your alarm. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes we're just lazy that way, and we think, well, if God wants me to do it, he'll do it. He'll just put that person in front of me, and I'll do it. No, go. If God tells you to go forgive that person, you go to them and forgive. Don't wait. Don't try to cop out on something God's trying to do. Just do what you know to do. Christians are lazy. Do you hear me? God is sovereign and he will make it happen. But the truth, God has commissioned us and to partner with us to accomplish his work. Amen? There are the others that we just need to trust the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit empowers you to be the witness. Did you hear me? To be the witness. Help us, Lord. Help us. You see, there are some other attitudes that keep us from going. In the book Soul Care, the guy gives three of them. You ready? Defensiveness. Anybody ever got defensive when someone come up to you and said, you know, you probably did that a little wrong? What do you mean I did that wrong? You're just a little crazy. It's typical. You know, if you fail a test, it's always the teacher's fault because she didn't make the right. She didn't lecture right. She didn't. No, the truth is I just didn't study. We get defensive. That's one of the things. And you know you need to change when you're just defensive about certain things. God's probably trying to cause you to change. You got to be aware of that. The other thing is blame. Like I mentioned, we blame the teacher when we fail the test. Blame my wife because of what's going on. You know, if she was more spiritual, if he was more spiritual, we blame everything on everybody else. Can I tell you, when you're ready for change, you got to take responsibility for what's going on in your own life. Stop blaming mom and daddy. Take responsibility. Stop blaming the political world. Stop blaming this or that. Take responsibility and allow the Lord and his word and the Holy Spirit to transform you into what he needs to do in you. He does. Here's the other thing we do to keep us from change, and that is we bargain with God. God, if you'll just fill my bank account with $1 million, I'll start tithing. Can I tell you, you'll never have enough money to start tithing. It's kind of like getting married. You'll never have enough money to get married. You'll never have enough money to start having kids. You'll never have enough money to send your kid to college. And you'll never have enough money to start obeying God in relationship to tithing. You never will. You gotta make your mind up. I'm going to change. I'm going to do what the Word of God says and do it. He said, Pastor Larry, you just need more money in the offering. No, listen to me. God is faithful and he is good. Do you realize in our general tithe and offering, we are up this year $20,000? Excuse me, did you hear what I said? Is that not awesome? That's awesome. You see, to grow and to change and to transform. Spiritual growth is multidimensional. And that's part of our problem. We think this way, if I can just know the word, I'll change. But the truth of the matter is, that's just a one-dimensional idea of what God has for you to grow. And when you focus on just one thing, how many know you're going to walk around kind of like not whole? Not whole. God wants you whole. Now I'm going to name some things here. They're not necessarily in order of purpose, but there are things that you need to focus on so that you can grow and change in a holistic way. Are you with me? The first thing is to grow and mature in your faith. To grow up in your faith. That means this: hearing and applying the Word of God to your life. Not just being a hearer of the word, but also applying that word to your life so you can live it out. How many know there's power in the word of God? Amen. You got to do that, you have to live the word out. You have to live the truth out. It's just not something you're telling everybody. It's not something you're just listening to. It's something you do. That's the first thing you got to do. The second thing is this. You got to grow together. You got to grow together in relationships. And this is probably the weakness of the New Testament or of Christianity in America today. Because we think we can live Christian faith without the church. Lie. Listen, there's this thing called a global church. We call it the universal church. We call it the Catholic Church. Now, I'm not talking about the denomination of Catholic, but the Catholic Church means universal church. And that's what that is. And we all belong, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, to the universal church. But in the New Testament, there's always the church local. And you can't say, I belong to the universal church and not be in relationship with the local. Because you have just disconnected yourself from the head. You see, fellowship in the New Testament was a high priority. A high priority. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. And over again, you'll see in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, and they met from house to house. They broke bread together. There was this tremendous, immense fellowship in the church. You know why? This is why I believe it to be the case. The more pagan a culture becomes, the more fellowship we need as believers. And the church was birthed in the most pagan culture you could ever imagine. The most sexually immersed, perverted society you could ever imagine. And that is why they needed fellowship so bad. And don't think you don't need it either. Because we are marching in a bad direction. We got to have community. We've got to have community development and fellowship. So the first one is this, grow your faith. The second one is grow your fellowship. Well, I don't know, I just can't find anybody that wants to be around me. There may be a reason. The second thing is grow in your relationship with God. You know, I know people who can grow in faith and their knowledge be detached from a relationship with God. They know all about God, but they never spend time in his presence. And there's no intimacy with him. No quiet time. No moments where you're sitting in silence, listening for him to speak. Grow in your relationship with God, understanding his work, his presence. See, that's the one thing you need to learn about the principles of God's word. It's not so much the principles of the foundation of the truth, but how is God working? What's God doing here? Because listen to me, the way God worked in Scripture is the same God that works today. And he doesn't contradict himself. You got to grow in your relationship with God. The other thing you got to do is grow in service. Serving, we had a work day yesterday at the church. We had six, eight guys here or something like that on the roof all over the place spraying off sidewalks and all that. Give these guys a big hand that came. Would you do that? You gotta grow in your service. You know why you grow in your service? Because growing in service and serving others means you develop your gifts in the midst of serving. You can't develop your gifts unless you serve. You can't become a better teacher unless you teach. Unless you think you can teach. That kind of scares me if you think you can teach and you've never taught. Yeah. So you got to develop yourself to serve better. God deserves your better. Amen? So that means, what does that mean? Pastor Larry, I got to find time to serve. My life is so busy. Yes, you do. You got to find time to serve. Well, I'm just so tired. Well, get over your tiredness and serve. Some of you let other things dictate to your life. Now, I'm not saying never rest. I'm just saying serve. It'll develop you. It'll make you into something. I don't know what I can do. Can I tell you, anybody can hold a baby in the nursery and rock them? Well, almost. There's a few men in this house I would question. No, don't do that, please. But that's okay. We have a screening process. But grow and serve. Find time to serve others. Grow. Service grows out of a heart of transformation. And when you're transformed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to be like him. And there's no better servant than Jesus who is willing to pick up a towel and wash the disciples' feet. Amen? I don't know what number I'm at. I think I'm at five here. The next thing you need to do is grow in giving. Giving is modeling God. God is a giver. And we're called to be imitators of God. That means you and I ought to be givers. Amen? Giving is modeling God. God is a giver and you are called to be like him. Start giving. Giving is stewardship over God's blessing in your life. Giving is acknowledging priorities in your life. Giving is trying your life to the tying your life to the advancement of God's kingdom. Anybody ever invested in a company and lost money? Don't raise your hand. And what happens? You give to a company and you give to the company thinking that it's going to do something and whatever. You're kind of married to that company because it's your money. You've worked hard for it and all that stuff. And you've entrusted in the investment to think that they're going to bring a return back. Can I tell you the same is true with the kingdom of God? When you invest into the kingdom of God, you are tying your finance to the investment, to the advancement of God's kingdom. And you always win. You should hear the stories that Boo has about how God has blessed him. You should just listen to the stories how God has blessed and just little things God dropped in his heart because he's been faithful over the years of giving. It's beautiful. Thank you, Boo, for being an example to me. Amen? Giving is a demonstration of love. Now, when you tied your finances to the kingdom of God, this is what God says in Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Like I said earlier and many times, there's two subjects that makes the church real quiet. One is sex and the other is money. It just happens all the time. Listen to me. When God called me in the ministry, I'm sitting in Bud Barfield's living room in Niceville, Florida. He's got a beautiful home. Beautiful wife, beautiful kids. And I'm sitting there thinking I'll never have any of that. Because I equated the call to ministry to having nothing. And I was willing to do that. Did you hear me? And I did it. And I've been blessed. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. I have been blessed more than I could ever imagine. It's amazing. When you guys sit, Linda and I, a few years back for our 20th anniversary of paying the pastor of this church to Rome, and Linda's standing on Mars, standing where the emperors used to have all their palace, and we're looking over the Colosseum and down through that area where they used to run chariots and all that stuff, and she says to me, I thought I'd never see this. God will come through for you. If you'll learn to give. Tie your finances to the advancement of his kingdom. And he made a promise. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will be poured into your lap. For with good measure you use, it will be measured to you. Hallelujah! I can thank God for that. I can thank God for that. God has blessed me. You know, we've been living in our new house for a year and a half. And the nice thing about it is, I never robbed God one day for that house. Glory to God. Well, you may not. Celebrate. It's a beautiful thing to give to God. Matter of fact, God says this. He loves a cheerful giver. And it is a great thing to give to God. Amen. You see, we got to be moving toward healthy change. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've been surprised by the change he's brought into my life. Stand with me, would you? Ben said yesterday he's going to be 29 for the rest of his life. He's adopting some habits that he's heard some of you say. Well, I have to, really, some of you are 39 now. Can I tell you? Let God do what God needs to do in your life. Quit playing blame game. Quit trying to manipulate God. Quit trying to blame everybody else. Quit trying. Let him change what needs to be changed. God knows what he's doing. Don't bind up what God wants to loose. Learn what healthy transformation and change is. Not just individually, but as a church. Let's go for God. Lord, do what you need to do in our lives. And God, I surrender afresh and anew to you. Wherever I need to grow, whatever I've left out, Lord, you need to just show me. Help me to grow where I need to grow, Lord. God, put me in front of the book. Help me to find the book. Help me to find the person. Whatever. Lord, do what needs to be done to make me grow the way you need me to grow. Healthy growth in my life. God, do what you need to do in this church to create healthy growth, Lord. Healthy growth, Lord. The increase of heaven. The increase of heaven, Lord. God, move by your Holy Spirit, I pray. Maybe you're here today. Bow your head with me, would you? You're here today and you say, Pastor Larry, I need God to change something in my life. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do. But listen to me. I need God to change something in my life. Would you just raise your hand? Raise your hand. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hand down. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Larry, I've never repented of my sins and I need to repent. Repent of myself. Repent. I need to come to the Lord Jesus. Would you raise your hand? Anybody? I want to pray for you, you guys that raised your hands here. Lord, I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit and the work of your grace that's able to transform and work what needs to be worked in our hearts and our lives. We recognize, oh God, you've destined us for something better than what we are today, Lord. Not that what we are today is undeserving, Lord, but you have something better for us. And God, we want to discover it. We want to explore it. We want to march toward it, Lord. And we want you, oh God, to lead us and guide us in that path. God, I pray for holy anointing. I pray for supernatural revelation. I pray for the wisdom of heaven on everybody in this house, Lord, that we would see, know, and behold, oh God, your good measure, pressed down, running over in our lives. Thank you, God, that you are the one who works and does. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we thank you for leading us in the path of righteousness.